Good morning. I'm Father David Leese. I've had the pleasure of celebrating Mass here at Blessed Sacrament in the past, and this weekend I'm doing so in the stead of Father Downing, who is taking a little time off. For the past several weekends, we've been listening to the Gospel according to Luke. And so far, Luke has been presenting to us the conditions of discipleship. He's been sharing with us through the words of Jesus, what are the expectations of a person who will be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And so a couple of weekends ago, Jesus shared the parable about the guests at the wedding feast and the importance of the virtue of humility, that a guest should take the lowest seat at a plate at a banquet, and then maybe he might be called up to a place of honor. But every disciple should humble themselves, that the first will be last and the last will be first. Last weekend, he declared that a disciple must hate everyone more than him. Mother, father, siblings, children, that to be a true disciple, Jesus Christ comes first over all relationships, and that furthermore, one must be willing to take up his or her cross and follow after Jesus. Very challenging propositions for one who then has to calculate, would it be worth it to do all that? Could I be a faithful disciple in trying to embrace these qualities of a follower? But this weekend, Jesus adds a new element to perhaps soften or encourage us in the face of those challenging qualities of a disciple. He presents to us this weekend the overwhelming, incomprehensible love of God the Father for each and every one of us. That with this knowledge of God's great mercy and love, we can dare to follow Jesus. We can dare to try to live humbly. We can dare to put Jesus first in our life and know that the love and mercy of God the Father will watch over all that we need. It's a challenging and daunting risk for one to take. And it also might be conditional upon the image that we have of God's love for us. And I think, brothers and sisters, to one extent or another, we all struggle to have that true sense of what St. Catherine of Siena once called the crazy love of God for his people. We might be locked more into a conditional love of God or an image of God that we hear presented in the first reading from the book of Exodus. There we hear about the Israelites who have become depraved. They have formed a false idol out of gold in the form of a calf and have begun worshiping it. And we hear God responding very vehemently to Moses. I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make you a great nation. It's a very challenging image of God that is repeated several times throughout the Old Testament. A very culturally conditioned image of God from those first inspired writers of the scriptures. And maybe that's the type of God that motivates our religion in life. That perhaps we're here today because we don't want to offend this all-powerful God. Or that we follow our Catholic faith because of all the shall nots in the commandments. Or that if we step just one little bit out of line, the wrath of God may fall upon us. Or that in order to receive the love of God, there are all these conditions that we must fulfill first to be worthy to receive this love of God. And again, I would say that try as we might not to struggle with that, We live in a very conditional sense of love and a very transactional relationship with God. God, if I do this, then you will do this for me. And so we struggle. And yet, Jesus Christ came to give the fullness revelation, the fullest revelation of what God's love is truly like. And so we hear that borne out in this second reading from Paul's first letter to Timothy. Paul himself bears witness to the great mercy of God. He declares, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am the foremost. So along with those early Israelites, St. Paul saw how at times he had lived a depraved life, how he had done things of which he felt great shame and which he knew was putting him far away from the love of God. But he experienced that great intervention of Jesus Christ in his life, that call to turn to become a disciple and to follow after Jesus. You know, many of us can be locked away in shame from the maybe depraved moments of our lives. We can remember moments and maybe struggle to believe, would God truly forgive me for that? Has God truly set that in the past and now is embracing me with his love? I had a very profound experience of this struggle just this past week. I received a text message from a young woman, a family friend, and she had texted, Father, I know I need to talk to you, but I'm scared to do so. She said, but just this morning, we passed each other on the way to work, and I knew that God wanted me to reach out to you. So we set up a phone call this past Tuesday morning, and I began to listen to her story. A young wife, a mother, she found herself bound and locked up with the memory of a past sin from many, many years ago, a sin that she had confessed repeatedly. But recently, she was struggling with this great fear that God could not forgive her what she had done. She was losing sleep. She was experiencing great anxiety. Her husband was very concerned for her well-being and kind of asked her to reach out. And so I listened patiently, listened to her pour out all of her fears and concerns. Then I was able to pause her and say, you know what? You're believing a lie. You're believing a lie that's being insinuated by the evil one to get you to believe that God is not a good father and you cannot trust him. And that would be the devil's greatest lie that he tries to propose to you and to me. God is not a good God and you cannot trust him. And so we prayed through and talked through the irrationality of her struggle. We even renounced some of the spirits that I assumed were attaching themselves to this lie. And she was beginning to feel some peace. I checked in with her just yesterday. I told her I've been praying for her, and how was she? And she sent me this message. Basically, she said, life is different. I feel physically different, and I feel free to love. Like I'm loving because I'm loved, not because I'm scared out of my mind of going to hell. I've created some scars along the way. I've lived in shame and fear for a long time. So healing is going to take time, but the hardest step is over. I understand now when people say, I'm a new creation, I'm set free. And it's not easily put into words how amazing and unbelievable that love is. Literally, I'm a new person. I didn't know I could ever have freedom like this. And so I rejoiced and praised God that his love had broken in to this young woman's life. And that in the end, we realized that God is always searching for us. He's searching for us even in the midst of our sinful actions. Even when we feel furthest away from God, he never stops looking for us. And so these parables that Jesus offers in Luke's gospel today once again show that crazy love of God, that unconditional love of God for you and for me. I mean, the parables that he proposes really strike against basic logic. He says, just as matter-of-factly, which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the one in search of it? And I'd be saying, really, Jesus? I mean, 99 out of 100's pretty darn good. I think I'd cut my losses. Or which of you, having 10 coins, if you will, 10 pennies, and losing one, doesn't conduct a search of the entire house? And when you find that lost penny, you invite the neighbors over for a celebration. Come over, let's celebrate, I found my lost penny. I step over pennies in the Walmart parking lot all the time. I don't pick them up and dance around in the parking lot. But this is the crazy love that God has for you and for me. And ultimately, one of the greatest parables that Jesus ever shares, that rebellious son who turns away from his father, demands his inheritance, basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead so I could get my inheritance now. And off he goes and ruins himself, spending through the inheritance and a sinful lifestyle, and only coming to his senses when he's starving. And when he returns to that father, what do we hear? From a long ways off, the father saw his son and was filled with compassion. And he ran out and embraced his son. And they celebrated. Brothers and sisters, this is the love that God has for you and for me. And I would ask you to pray into that love. Pray to receive that love, especially if there are still those dark places in your history or your memory that may doubt, that may cause you to doubt, could God ever truly love me that way? Could he ever forgive me for what I've done? And the answer is a resounding yes. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, says Paul. Of these I am the foremost. But for that reason I was mercifully treated, so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. Let us celebrate this great love of God. Let us celebrate that Jesus calls us to follow him to lead us to the Father's house. And as we declare with the responsorial psalm, I will rise and go to my Father.